If a man forgets you, it is because God said, no, you shall not remember this young man, you shall not remember this young woman. The time to remember him has not yet come. Don't ever forget, Joseph was in prison, he helped a man. Oh, I wish people would understand this. Stop helping people because you don't know tomorrow. I don't know what I get my point. Some people say, you don't know what we'll meet tomorrow. Listen, even if you are sure, if you can assure me that you will die by tomorrow, I'll still help you. That is, as you are helping me now, or you are not helping me, I will be dead by tomorrow. What difference does it make? I commend my conscience towards God. People say, hey, you never can tell what we'll meet tomorrow. Listen, my help comes from the Lord. Are you getting my point? Anybody I help today, it is not because I will meet him tomorrow. It is because a good Christian helps people. Did you hear what I said? A good Christian does what? Helps people. Ah, you know, you see human beings, they don't know how to live by truth. One day I was telling somebody in my office, I was angry with something. You know, I would mention to somebody else. I said, listen, this fellow is applying for this. I'm not going to approve it. This is my reason. And I said, oh God, please, I approve it now. I was begging me, please sign it and let him have it. I said, why? He said, you know, your turn may come tomorrow and you need something from him and he will refuse to approve it. You know, I didn't even know where to start the discussion from or the correction. Of all the things I have said based on principle, the only thing you know to say is that break all these principles because you may need help from this fellow tomorrow. Let me tell you, in case you've not heard before, I'm a child of God. Anytime I need my help, it comes. I'm not sowing the seed of help into anybody's life so you can help me back tomorrow. Anything I do, are you getting my point? Is done as unto the Lord. Moses said, ascribe greatness to our God. Don't ascribe greatness to the man in power. Because God is saying here, I will have finished these people off, but the adversaries will misjudge. They will think they have power. Remember what happened to Pilate? Came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He expected Jesus to be trembling. The Roman, what is his name? What was his rank again? Is he proconsul or whatever? Or Roman emperor, whatever I said. I know it was not the emperor. To his amazement, this condemned, in quotes, man was calm. And he said, are you the king of the Jew? He said, what do you think? They said, you're a king. He said, well, really, if I was a king, and if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would have carried their arms down and be fighting. He would say, oh, you're a king? He said, yes. You said so. They were talking. He said, do you realize, look at him talking to me as if I'm his mate. Do you realize I have power to condemn you and have the power to free you? He just said, what? You actually believe that? I can just imagine. He said, listen, my friend. Nobody will have that kind of power except God gave it to him. My problem is not with people like you that are carrying power that they lent to them. Borrowed power. I'm connected with the person who gives us all power. Oh boy, whether you want to release me or not, you can't. Because it has been ordained that I should die at this time for your sin. You. You are getting the point I'm making. Why? It's called ascribe greatness to our God. We can't ascribe that greatness to Pilate. We ascribe greatness to our God. And listen to me also, you cannot ascribe greatness to yourself. If you ever did anybody a favor, you were able to be a blessing to somebody, do it with fear and trembling. Don't go out tomorrow and say, these people are not grateful. I know how I helped him. You didn't help anybody. You did your duty. Are you getting what I'm saying? We ascribe greatness to our God. These are the things we must remove from our brains as Christians so we don't think like unbelievers. You help people today, you expect them to be bowing and trembling before you tomorrow. Say, Papa has come. Papa has come. You understand? You think that you are great. Is this not Babylon the Great, which I built with the might of my power for the glory of my majesty? Nebuchadnezzar said so. Then God had to prove to him, no matter what you seem to have accomplished, it's only that which I've allowed you to accomplish. Listen, I don't want to digress because something just came to my mind. I will have helped people to understand. Stop looking at some people and making them look like they are better than you. Maybe say, I look at it at the age of 30. Or, how old is that Zuckerberg? How old is he? Yes. Let's just say, before I was 30, the boss is a billionaire. You're sitting down here. Listen, my friend, if he was born by my father and my mother, the time I was born, he too would be a preacher. Are you getting my point? That this, I have my direction to face in life. Don't ascribe greatness to anybody. That's the point I'm making. We ascribe greatness to our God. I don't want to digress into that. A lot of people are looking at people who are running different races that God appointed for certain purposes. And they are using those people as a yardstick to prove that their own lives are failures. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What's the song of Moses? He said to them, the enemy will have thought my hand is triumphant and the Lord has not done all of this. No, that's not right. He said, for they are a nation lacking in counsel. Now, reading this, all right, it applies both to the enemies and to the people of Israel. The people of Israel were lacking in counsel, so they forsook their God. And the enemies are lacking in counsel, saying our own hands is triumphant and the Lord has not done this. He said, would that they were wise, that they understood this. All right, verse 30 says, how could one chase 1,000? Listen to this. And two, put 10,000 to flight. What he was saying is this. The enemies will come. One, will put 1,000 of the people of God to rout. And 2 of them will put 10,000 to flight. He said, the reason is because their rock sold them up. And the Lord has given them up. Because of time, please, let me pause here, all right? We may read the rest next time if we have to. But I just need to quickly make my point, all right? Because I'm looking at my time. It's really running out on us. This is the point I'm trying to make in all of these things. The life of the Christian is in the hand of God. There is no foreign God with him. What I've established is this. You know, why do Christians have problems? Let me just say this. I want to say it, all right? Some people will say that we are not servants. We are sons. But as a matter of fact, all right, when we are children, the Bible says we don't differ from servants. That's just what is proper. We have to be trained into sonship. You get what I'm saying? We have to be able to accept responsibility from our father. And that's what training is about. And this is what we are talking about, discipline. Why do Christians have problems? Moses was explaining. Listen, idolatry, listen to this. Idolatry does not mean you went and carved one piece of wood or stone or ivory, put it in a corner, you now bow before it. You get what I'm saying? You now start bowing before it. That's not what idolatry is. Listen, idolatry is to have faith, all right, in anything apart from the true God. Idolatry is to ascribe greatness to a human being and not the true God. Idolatry is to ascribe greatness to money and not the true God. Idolatry is to have your hope fixed on any other thing apart from the true God. So when God says that my people forsook me and they played the harlot after other gods, don't say, after all, I have not yet gone to a mosque. That's not what we're talking about. There are decisions you make in life that shows that money is central to all your activities. It's idolatry. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. First, we must identify what idolatry is. There are Christians, you know, when you hear them talk, you know, I don't know how many of you, there's one message I wrote for my brethren today that my wife forwarded it to a number of Kingdom World people on a WhatsApp group. I was reading Rick Joyner, actually. I have this book, something like A Spirit of Fear or something like that, A War on Fear by Rick Joyner. I was reading on the computer, just reading. And then I got to a point, and Rick Joyner began to talk about financial freedom. And he said, this is true financial freedom. He said, well, before I tell you what he said, when I read what he said, I immediately remember what Robert Kiyosaki said. So I dropped what I was reading, picked up my phone, and quickly composed one short exhortation. That there's a word, a phrase common out there these days. It's called financial freedom. What is financial freedom? Robert Kiyosaki said, this is financial freedom. Having enough money flowing from your passive, what they call passive income. That is, your investments producing money for you, don't have to work. He said, if you can make enough money to meet all your expenses without having to work, you're financially free. That is from below. Amen? Amen. It's from where? Below. That's the earthly level. Rick Joyner gave me the heavenly level. Again, I said that once you can make decisions in life, and money is not the reason why you are making decisions, you are financially free. That is, you are making decisions in life, and it's not because of what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. He said, then you are financially free. He said, if making your decisions, the primary thing in your mind is what is the will of God in this situation, then you are financially free. He said, if you're making your decisions, the kingdom of God is ruling you. He said, then you are financially free. I got up and quickly typed. I said, my brethren, are you financially free? I said, how are you pursuing your own financial freedom? I'm talking about idolatry. If we are pursuing financial freedom, the Yoruba Kiyosaki way is idolatry. Why do Christians have problems? Number one, idolatry. And God does not want idolatry in your life. Does God cause problems for Christians? That question is always very funny to answer. People say, no, it's the devil. I think I've established it enough that the devil does not cause problems for you and for me. What it causes for us is called temptations. It tempts us to doubt. It tempts us to be ignorant. You are busy morning till night. You've never settled down and say, what has God said about my future and how to enter into divine destiny? So the devil is tempting you with busy here and there so that you are not able to imbibe wisdom. A few meetings ago, we talked about eating the bread because the journey is long. If the devil can tempt you with too much busy, even listen to this, even busy doing the work of God that you don't eat the bread, then there's a problem. That's temptation. Why do Christians have problems? I'm talking about idolatry. Satan tempts them. The reason why you're having problems, it's because your father was not rich. And you believe it. Your friends that had poorer fathers have made greater advancements in life. Listen, that's what Satan does. That's all he does. That's the only thing he has power to do. I hope you're getting my point. That's how Christians have problems. He turns them into idolatry. They start fixing their eyes on things that are not the true God. I'm going to leave you here. So if a Christian is having problems, that's what Moses was trying to teach them. They will identify that our God gave us up. And the question is, why? That why must be asked, because he's a good God. I don't know whether I get my point. Because he's a good God. He never delights in his children having issues. He does not delight in his children, all right, having problems. So if they have problems, they should ask themselves, why? Many times he says to them simply, this is light. You have rejected light and you are walking in darkness. When it comes to this marriage matter, it's one major problem. You see, listen, only you and I will change the rest of the world. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because the Bible says we are the light of the world. There are people who are praying day and night. Who is the husband I should marry? Who is the wife I should marry? And God said, I will not answer you. If you like, pray from now. Fast until a hole drills from the center of your stomach out of your umbilicus. I will not answer you. It's okay, this church we are attending is not powerful enough. This pastor is not anointed. Let us go to another one. 15 days fast. Special seed. You will take an offering. You know, we like to quote scripture. When Solomon took 1,000 burnt offerings, heaven opened. You are going to take 1,000 burnt offerings. I don't know what your own one offering is. Maybe it's 1,000 naira. 1,000 burnt offerings for you is 1,000,000. Heavens will open tonight. God said, don't worry. That way, 1,000,000 naira. I'm going to share it while you are watching to all my children. They will eat it. I still will not answer you. Someone says deliverance. They will cut all the trees in your grandfather's village because of only you. God said, I still will not answer you. Then finally, you come back home and say, Lord, let's discuss this matter. We have gone round and round and round. What is the problem? And he says, idolatry. Say, what do you mean by idolatry? Say, you have rejected your God. What do you mean by I rejected my God? I said to you before, I have broken down the wall of partitioning. Are you getting my point? Between different groups of people. I've said to you, if any man, any woman is in Christ, he or she is a new creature, all things are passed away. Have you noticed that you have sworn in your mind that if anybody is from this part of Imo State or Anambra State, you will never marry them? He said, are you saying that's where my husband is from? No, I didn't say so. In fact, your husband is from Kotangura, but I'm just trying to explain. I'm just trying to explain that if there is an idol in your heart, I know the answer. At this marriage, I always like to just explain some things to people. There are statements you make. They should actually have you imprisoned. That is, angels in heaven, they will have you imprisoned. That the angels will take turns beating you. Say, Michael, you want exercise? Yes, that guy did prison. They will use you, you understand, as exercise machine to flex their muscle on how to deal with evil spirits. Because that's what they are carrying. The way we behave sometimes. Let me give you an example. I like to say this because people keep on thinking it. If a girl is from a broken home, I can never marry her. God said, fine, you are saying to me, I do not have the power to make anything new. There are things you do, you are insulting God. You think it's that girl you are insulting? No, she's not the one. Afterwards, you meet her at church. What was she doing? She was singing praises. The first day you saw her, she was giving the testimony of how God changed her life, how she gave her life to Christ. And you are there saying, what happened?
Yeah.
You know her father. Remember that man that they said beat two of his wives and kill one of them? That's her father. God said, oh boy, every naira you invest will go down the drain. What has naira got to do with marriage? No, it's an insult. You are insulting me on a daily basis, and I have to put a stop to it. Maybe when you look for your money, you don't see him. You don't say you, your wallah and money. So, you know, that one, you know, how many of you have seen Kung Fu Panda? You know, Master Shifu said, to train you now food. So, to make the guy learn Kung Fu, he has to be tossing food in front of him. The guy will be chasing food up and down. So, because you, your wallah and money. So, I'll be collecting your money here and there. Why? So that next time you go to church, you will see that young woman, you will greet her very well. You will take her out for dinner. You will talk to her nicely. You will even intend to propose. I will not tell you, say, no, be her. Why? Because with God, it's not the actions, it's the spirit. I, the Lord, I test the heart. It's the testing of the heart we are talking about. I read a story long ago. One man, he ran away from God all his life. Because he thought that God was calling him to ministry and he was going to go to China. Finally, when he reconciled himself back to God, the Holy Spirit now ministered to him. One day, he now prayed and said, Lord, whatever you want in my life, I will do. In fact, off to China I go. Because you know you're not going to China. What? I just wanted you to be willing to go. That's all. Listen, the song of Moses, I have to close because of my time. This is a summary of the song of Moses. God is leading you, and there's no foreign God with you. Are you getting my point? God is leading you, and there's no witch doctor with him. Amen?
Amen.
This is the next point. God doesn't delight in problems for his people, but the perfection of their spiritual character is more important than any physical comfort. Therefore, if he has to put a hole, you know, strangle them somewhere to remove that physical comfort, he will do it if it will open their eyes to spiritual truth. Many problems in the lives of Christians. I said Satan tempts with ignorance, with different things. We're talking about when people depart from God and they go into idolatry. Many problems in the lives of Christians are caused by what? Idolatry. And what is idolatry? No. I'm not saying they have carved a god or a goddess in the corner of their room. No. It's when they are fixing their eyes on something apart from the true God and they did not ascribe greatness to him. They have fixed their eyes that if I don't get this visa, win lottery, and go to America, I will never make it in life. God said, you see, I can bless you in Nigeria. I may even take you to that America. But as long as you are thinking like that, this is how you'll be having one problem after another. Until you have been corrected out of idolatry. If you are still aligning the judgments of your life to be based upon the lies that people are telling you around, it is still idolatry. And these are the things that bring problems into the lives of Christians. Why do I allow problems? God is saying, not because I'm angry. You must understand this. Anger is different from what God is demonstrating here. What God is actually demonstrating is love. He just wants to correct. Are you getting what I'm saying? What is he trying to do? He wants to correct. The Bible says that the son that the father loves is the one he chastises. That's the song of Moses. That's the song of Moses. That's the summary of it. Israel, no matter how small you are, and no matter how big your enemies are, don't ever think your problems is because of the size of your enemy. I say it like this all the time. The strength of your enemy is directly proportional to the weakness of your relationship with God. Elijah said to Job, what should they say? They should say, where is God my maker? They should stop crying because of the arm of the oppressor. They should turn to God and say, where is God my maker? Let me just read that and we'll close with Job 35. It said, verse 9. It said, because of the multitude of oppressions they cry out. They cry for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, where is God my maker? Who gives songs in the night? Who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of heaven? He said, there they cry out, but he does not answer. Why? What they are demonstrating is what the Bible calls the pride of evil men. He says, surely God will not listen to an empty cry, nor will the Almighty regard it. Listen to this. God says, when you reconcile yourself with me by changing your mind, you know what Elijah was saying? I will give you insight. I will give you a song, you know that, and I will give you wisdom that will bring you out of this tight situation you think you are in right now, and it will bring you to an open place. Your life as a believer, in fact, that one, things happened to me this day. You know, recently I lost a few sheets of paper. Sheets of paper. You know, paper, ordinary paper. It wasn't crucial. I had some things written on it. I took time out to look for that paper. I didn't find it. My wife was telling me, I was asking her, did you find this? Did I leave it in the room? I went to my office, looked for it. The paper vanished. And I realized later what happened. You know what happened? I had a number of them like that, double sheets of paper. I was through with some, so I decided to throw them away. I selected one of the ones I was through with, thinking it was the one I still needed, and discarded every other thing. It wasn't a big deal. I knew where to go and get my information from. Except that when I went back to retrieve the information that I copied in that paper, I realized the error I had made. I don't know what I get the point I'm making. That is what the Holy Spirit was. He just said, oh boy, this paper is wrong. He took it and threw it away. I said, you will look for it. You will not find it. Then you go back and start again. Then you will discover the errors that you are making. I found out that God attends to every little detail of my life. Are you getting my point? Yes, sir. There's no foreign God with me. Oh, are you getting my point? Let's stop magnifying the devil. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock.